recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight is by Father Gabriel Mosier from Holy Rosary Church here in Portland.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People of Zion, behold, the Lord shall come to save the nations, and the Lord shall make the glory of his voice be heard in the joy of your hearts. Give ear, O thou that rulest Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a sheep. This particular officium, as we call it in the Dominican Rite, introit in the Roman Rite, gives us the proper sentiment with which we ought to approach this particular season of Lent. And that is one of hope. People of Zion, behold, the Lord shall come to save the nations. Do we believe that the nations, the peoples, us in particular, me in particular, needs to be saved? Do we believe that? This, I think, is the fundamental premise that our culture right now, in at least the West of the world, if not the entirety of the world, does not fundamentally believe. There is a fundamental disbelief that we need to be saved. Now, how do we know this? Oftentimes, this shows up whenever we have a question about theodicy. That is how evil things can exist in a world that is reigned over by a perfect God. And people phrase it this way: I don't understand how a loving God could send anyone to hell. How often do we hear that? How often does that temptation whisper in our own hearts? It is somehow as if we deserve by our very existence. Somehow we deserve heaven. Somehow that heaven is the default position for us when we die. But this is not the case. This is not the case. Heaven is a pure and absolute gift. The default position is exclusion from the beatific vision, because we don't deserve it. And there's nothing that we can do to earn it. So do we believe that we need a Savior? What does it mean for Christ to save us? For there to be a Messiah? Is his job merely to function as a person who stands between us and the wrath of the Father against us, as if we were some pagan religion? Or rather, is the Messiah the one that bridges the unbridgeable gap, that offers us something that we could have never expected? Heaven is something that could never be expected. Because what is heaven? And perhaps this is the reason why we have a hard time understanding this. Heaven is not some place in the clouds with angels strumming harps. That would be very boring and onerous very soon. An eternity of that would be like eating nothing but candy all day long. Now, maybe some of the kids might like that, and maybe a couple of the adults too. But like eating candy, like, I'll give you an example. Just yesterday, we had this leftover cake, right? So we've had all these desserts that have come in because you guys are wonderful and generous. And there's this chocolate cake that is just murder. I had one slice of that thing, and I think I went into a diabetic coma. If I had to eat that every day, I would die. It would be the worst thing ever. So that saccharine sweetness, that Milton vision of heaven, is not heaven. Heaven is the unmediated presence of God. And more than that, it is a true and concrete, real, share participation in the Trinitarian life. That love and life that the persons of the Trinity share with each other, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that mutual, infinite, perfect love that they all live and dwell within, we are incorporated into that. That's what heaven is. It's being incorporated into the very life of God. No creature deserves that. No creature can earn that. It has to be gifted. And that is what the Messiah does. Through his sacrifice upon the cross, he bridges that gap with his own body. And he offers us the incorporation, the possibility of the incorporation of our life in his life. This is a profound reality. And it's something that we really should consider deeply, and how important it is to work towards our salvation. That is, by following the commandments of the Lord, by living the life of the Beatitudes, and by expressing in our hearts and our sentiments the joy that comes with this gift that has already been given. The joy. And that is precisely that word of the Lord that is implanted in our hearts, where he says, "And the Lord shall make the glory of his voice be heard in the joy of your hearts." And what is the glory of his voice, but rather his sacred teachings, his promises, the hope that he gives to us, and the path by which we can attain to that hope? Filled with joy. Joy at the possibility of this new life that as we live here in this veil of tears, we have a hard time conceiving of. We have little simulacra of it. The love that we have for friends and fellows and family. These are shares, participations, small that they might be, in what we will receive in heaven. Because it's not only that incorporation of me into the life of the Trinity, as if we lived in some Kierkegaardian Christian existentialism, but rather it is myself incorporated into the life of the Trinity with all of the saints and angels in that communion of saints. All of us together, perfectly and intimately united, so that we all overflow in joy constantly for the rest of eternity. This is a profound reality where the entire body groans in rejoicing for the gift that is being offered. And so today, now, in this season, we must begin to more perfectly manifest that joy of the gospel that is historically the sign of a Christian. Historically, the sign of the Christian, it is our love, our joy at the gift that has been given, not self-righteousness, not dourness, but joy. And we don't always have to be mirthful in our joy. As I explain to people, Christ dying upon the cross experienced perfect joy. Christ dying on the cross experienced perfect joy. So even in our suffering, even when we're hurting, even when things are not right in our worlds, we can still experience and manifest joy because we continue to go on our progress towards the desired hope. As we continue that progress, and as we continue that progress, that joy can manifest itself within us even though we might be hurting otherwise. Because we never want to deny that reality. But joy is the possession of what we hope for. And the more that we possess Christ, the more that we possess that relationship to him, the more that we possess virtue, the more that we possess the grace that is offered in order to fulfill our nature, to complete it and perfect it, then the more we can be filled indeed with true joy. Not something passing, but something that sustains. And that joy transmits itself outside of us and begins to show, as it were, the glory of the Lord through us to others. And others, by seeing that joy, seeing that glory, seeing that hope, are convicted and compelled in order to also share in the same hope, the same glory, and the same joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And that is today's homily highlight by Father Gabriel Mosher at Holy Rosary Church here in Portland. If you want to listen to that again or share that with a friend, head over to our webpage at materdeiradio.com to find the podcast. And you can also find it on our new Hail Mary Media app.